Welcome back into the Press Box and our weekly racing preview. It's brought to you by Keeneland, by Churchill Downs, by TwinSpires.com, by Equiride, by the Fairgrounds, by Clark Distributing, by Arlington Park, and by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Dave Baker and Gene McLean, they're still talking about the Derby off the track. And they'll, when people said this will be one they talk about for years to come, I didn't realize that that was going to be continuous from the final post on Derby Day. But we're in federal court now, and so we will we will leave that where it is. But as we go to the Preakness, Gene, first time in since what? Is it the 90s, 96, or is it 2000? It's been a while since a Derby winner is not there.
Yeah, you know, and when you mentioned we're going to talk about for a long time that you didn't mean it was going to be literal, but it actually has been a little bit, unnerving to say the least, because we've become such a litigious, society.
Yes.
And it's unfortunate because, truthfully, nobody ever wants to be in the position of having to make that decision. And I thought, this, as we've talked about before, the stewards did their job. They did the right call. They did what they're up there to do, and that is to, when certain situations call for them to make a ruling, they have to make it based on the objective review of the film. And so nobody likes to be in that situation. We find ourselves in that situation. And, unfortunately, some people have thought, well, we're going to take our ball and go home. And that's fine, because this field for the Preakness, Buzzy, is a good one. And I think it's going to be a fun race. I think it's going to be an exciting race. I think it's going to be a great race to bet.
First time in 23 years, as we mentioned, that the Derby winner has not run in the Preakness Stakes. But as you said, a field of 13 looked like it was going to be 12 until your man Dale Romans got in there late. And we will go ahead and take a look at the field. I think we've got what? We've got two Derby starters, is that right? Improbable the favorite, Bodie Express. I believe that's all right, or am I missing somebody?
No, we got War of Will. I think we've got Win. So I think we got
there. You go, four. Okay, so I only missed half of that, but please forgive me. So a mile and 3/16, $1.5 million over the dirt at Arlington. Post time 6:48 on NBC Saturday night. And as we start looking at that field, Gene, War of Will, Mark Cassie is back on the rail. He got off the rail a little bit in the Derby by when there were some defections. He went out to the two-hole. But in any event, not the issue in a 13-horse field and at Pimlico that it was at Churchill in the Derby.
No, I think, Buzzy, that War of Will has enough speed to leave there. Bourbon War is not going to go out with, even though he's going to be having the small cup blinkers on for the first time, Bourbon War is not going to go right out to the front. I don't know that much about Warrior's Charge to predict where he may or may not run, but Probable is a stalker. Owendale is a little bit of a stalker with some speed, but there's plenty of opportunity for War of Will with a clean break, Buzzy. And, that's always the case. But, I think with a clean break, War of Will will be able to establish a good, solid running position down on the rail and should be in a fine spot down there. Buzzy, he had such a great winter. He won the Risen Star. He won the LeCompte Stakes when they Mark Cassie finally moved the Son of Tappet, Son of Warfront, to the dirt. He just took off. He became a different kind of horse. He had that incident in the Louisiana Derby where he kind of swerved and lost his action in the back end and kind of tweaked his rear end and had some kind of physical issues that they overcame at Keeneland, getting him ready. And I thought he ran a super race in the Derby. The incident at the turn was unfortunate, because we now will never know if he was going to make a sustainable run to get in front. But I thought he ran a tremendous race, and by all accounts, he's come out of the Derby in fine fiddle, and I think he's one to watch and one to beat in the Preakness.
Sounds like you're going to be doing more than watching, but we'll get that to that in a minute. War of Will at 4-1, at 12-1, Bourbon War out of the two-hole.
Yeah, and this is my horse, Buzzy. Mark Hennig, the trainer, is a great story. He's the son of a trainer, John Hennig from Ohio, and John has just done a tremendous job in the years training horses. His son Mark worked for him. He left, went to work with Neil Howard, who you know was a great is still a great trainer for Mr. Farish to a large extent. And but Mark has put in all of his time and all of his due diligence, and he's now here in the Preakness. This horse I thought would be a prime contender for the Derby. He just didn't get the points to get in the Derby, and so they sat it out, and now they find themselves in the Preakness without some of the Derby runners. I really think this horse is really coming into himself. Son of Tappet. Buzzy, he had a light bulb moment back in the early part of the year. He was in an allowance race down at Gulfstream, and he split horses. He put his nose through a hole and kind of came through there, and then he just ran off at the end. And he came out of that race. He ran a huge second to Code of Honor in the Fountain of Youth. The Florida Derby just didn't set up for him because the front runners just kind of ran off and made the lead, and that was Maximum Security and Bodie Express. And, you know, he ran, a really good fourth right behind Code of Honor. And Code of Honor ran a huge race in the Derby and possibly had a chance to win it. I just think Bourbon War, off those races in Florida and the way he's been training, he is going to be fitted with the blinkers for the first time. This is my horse. I'm not going to back up. 12-1 morning line. If he hits, you and I will meet up and head to Vegas.
I love that. Let's go. All right, out of the three hole, Warriors Challenge also at 12-1 with Javier Castellano.
Yeah, a new rider here, and Javier Castellano is a Hall of Famer for a reason. And, you know, he's not only a talented rider, but he's also a very educated rider. You know, Warriors Charge has gotten to Pimlico after flying from Louisville on Wednesday. You know, according to Brad Cox, the trainer, that they both he and Owendale, who are both in the Preakness, both trained by Brad Cox, they both galloped well over the track. Cox has run three horses at Pimlico in the past, only three. He ran seventh in the 2014 Pimlico Special with a horse named Carve. He was third with a horse named Dazzling Jim in the 2016 Sir Martin. And he was sixth in last year's Miss Preakness Stakes with a horse named Good Move. So he hadn't had a tremendous amount of success at Pimlico. It'll be interesting to see. This is a real long shot for me and not a horse that I'm going to be using in my selections.
Okay, so that takes us out to the four. Bob Baffert, Improbable, the favorite, 5-2. Money Mike Smith, who was available but noticeably absent from any of the Baffert horses at the Derby. All of a sudden, here he is on Improbable.
Yeah, this horse is going to get a ton of money. He's going to probably be the favorite by post time. He's the morning line favorite, Buzzy. Undefeated as a 2-year-old and winless as a 3-year-old. Son of City Zip, and a lot of people have questioned if City Zip sons and daughters really want to go this far. I'm one of those in that camp. I think they're probably better off at a little bit shorter distance. Improbable is an imposing, a beautiful-looking, great stride. You know, but just hasn't really graduated, Buzzy, and taken that next step. I think he's going to be take a lot of money. I'm going to use him underneath, maybe a little over top with Bourbon War, but he's not going to be my primary pick.
Owendale, the 5, 10-1, Florent Giroux.
Yeah, this is a horse that won the Lexington Stakes, Buzzy. I thought he got a perfect trip in the Lexington at Keeneland. He had won a Fairgrounds allowance race, but just didn't run very well in the Risen Star after that in his stakes debut. You know, I think that, you know, he showed up in Lexington in the race at Keeneland and got a really nice trip along the rail. You know, Buzzy, that's a short stretch and a short finish there in the Lexington at that mile and a 16th distance. I think he's going to have to really call on all of Brad Cox's expertise to stretch out to this distance and face this company. I think he's a major step up. Brad Cox has been very, very successful in his young career, but this is asking a lot.
Okay, so we go from Owendale to the 6, Market King, 30-1, John Court, Dwayne Lucas.
Yeah, this horse, Buzzy, was an interesting call Derby week because he was entered in the Pat Day Mile and got to the paddock, got to the racetrack, and he was a late scratch by the order of the stewards. Don't know what the reason was that particular day, but he was scratched and did not run. So it's really going to be interesting, you know, getting to, in this race in the Preakness. John Court, as we've known, one of the best guys to ever throw a leg over one, is now 58. He was the oldest to ever ride in the Derby. He was on Long Range Toddy, and, you know, he was compromised in that incident at the top of the stretch, and John really never got the opportunity to kind of finish that race either. Again, I think this is a an outsider. Dwayne Lucas, the Hall of Famer, the coach, is taking a shot, and, you know, he's taken shots before and surprised a lot of people, but he's just not a horse that I'm going to be using.
The 7, Always Mining, Daniel Centeno, 8-1.
This horse is a local horse. He's a Maryland bred, Buzzy. He's won 6 in a row. Comes in off the Federico Tessio Stakes win. Just a, you know, really a flashy kind of horse. I think that this is a horse that you've got to use because of his experience over this racetrack and the fact that he's, you know, obviously been very, very successful. One of the things that I thought about most about Always Mining is he did beat Win, Win, Win in one of their earlier races, and I do like Win, Win, Win. So if by virtue of liking a horse that he's beaten, I kind of am inclined to like also Always Mining. I don't, again, I'm going to use him in combinations. I'm not going to use him primarily on top. I'm going to use that exclusively for Bourbon War and War of Will.
Just a few more. We need to pick up the pace ever
yes,
so
sir.
Slightly. Signal Man at 30-1. Brian Hernandez Jr., Kenny McPeak, the trainer. This was a horse that could have gotten into the Derby had the Saturday before the race not suffered a scratch over an eye, which required 7 stitches, I believe.
Yeah, and this horse has been training excellent. He ran well in Lexington in the Bluegrass Stakes, Buzzy. Just didn't get the points necessary to get in the main body of the field for the Derby, and then was left off the also eligible list. Trained by Ken McPeak. He's been training. This horse has been training with the filly Restless Rider for most of the spring, and Restless Rider did not sire in the Kentucky Oaks, but has been a very consistent filly. Signal Man is a closing type, and I think that you got to use him underneath or give him some consideration to hit the exotics.
Bodie Express, one of the Derby starters, John Velasquez, 20-1 in the 9 hole.
Pick up John Velasquez, who rode Code of Honor. This horse is still a maiden, meaning he hadn't won a race yet, but he ran 2nd in the Florida Derby to Maximum Security, and I thought was making a huge move in the turn, and probably the most compromised horse in that whole incident created by Maximum Security and his jockey, Luis Saez. But still a maiden. You know, I think he's going to be big odds again. And, you know, he might be one worth throwing in there in that 2nd or 3rd hole, depending upon the odds. But John Velasquez, as I think, is riding as well as he's ever ridden and had a really good meet at Keeneland and subsequently at Churchill Downs for Derby Week. Picks up the mount here and certainly worth considering in your underplays.
The 10, a late entry at 50-1, Everfast, Joel Rosario, your friend and all-around good guy, Dale Romans.
Yeah, you know, you got to love Dale showing up to a party. He walks in and, you know, he's kind of like John Candy. Everybody kind of gravitates to him because of the stories and the, you know, he is a funny guy. And, you know, he's a daggone good trainer too, Buzzy, for all the jokes and tomfoolery that Dale is known for. He can get you a good horse and get you a good race. This is a Calumet homebred Everfast. We ran a 2nd down in one of the big stakes races in Florida this spring at 128-1. I'm not going to use him, but I hope that I'm not a laughing fox after the Preakness.
There you go. Laughing fox in the 11 hole, 20-1, Ricardo Santana Jr., for trainer Steve Asmussen.
Yeah, and these connections have just been red hot. Ricardo Santana Junior, I think, won three major races either on Friday the Oaks. I think it was on Oaks Day, and Asmussen just had a tremendous. It was Oaks Day with Matola and some of the other horses that he saddled during the entire weekend. Long Range Toddy was compromised in the Derby, but he gets in the Preakness with Laughing Fox. This is horse coming out of the Oaklawn. And, you know, I don't know enough about him, quite honestly, to say he can't win it, although I'm not going to use him in my selections.
The 12, another twist of fate, 6-1, Jose Ortiz and Blaine Wright.
This is a huge jockey move. Another twist of fate ran second in the Lexington Stakes to Owendale. He was ridden that day by Javier Castellano. I thought Javier rode a very, I don't want to say questionable ride.
Pedestrian?
I think he kind of fell asleep a little bit and didn't ask. You know, at Keeneland, he had to win to get in the Derby, Buggy.
Yep.
And with that short stretch and with that short finish, he just didn't move him in the turn, which you've got to do. You've got to be having your momentum into that turn and coming out of there. You've got to be on top, particularly with the circumstances and the situation being what it was. I really like the jockey change here. Mike Riccio is the jockey's agent for Jose Ortiz. Really think another twist of fate is a primary contender in this race.
And finally, out of the 13 hole, 15-1, win, Julianne Pimentel and Michael J. Trombetta.
Yeah, this is not a good post, although I will say I think this is a horse that's going to take back. He ought to fall in behind some of these leading horses and make one big run at the end. But it's not the primary position you want to be in this far from the rail. But win is a striking, imposing, beautiful-looking horse. I really, when I saw him at Churchill Downs before the Derby, Buzzy, really liked the way this horse physically is so attractive and muscular and rare and, you know, very in tune with what he's doing for a living. He never has a bad day on the racetrack. And Michael Trombetta is a really up-and-coming trainer and one of the more personable people in our industry. And I wish all the best for him. I think he's in a little tough spot. Not because he doesn't have the talent, but just because of where he's at in the starting gate. He's going to have to get everything to work his way in this field to kind of weave his way and be a contender. If he gets free at the end, as we saw in Lexington, Buzzy, this horse can put on a nice run at the wire. And I think the Lexington Stakes on a track that was favoring speed throughout at Keeneland all spring long, this horse showed a lot of talent, and he will make a run. Whether or not he's good enough, we'll see.
All right, my friend, you have said you're playing Bourbon War, but as your pick. But how do you play it?
I'm playing Bourbon War across the board, Buzzy. Win, place, and show. He's 12-1 in the morning line. I think that is very generous. I don't know if we'll get that by post time. I think probably more like 8-1, maybe in the offering. But Bourbon War is my horse. I'm going to load up and I'm going to go. I'm fired at all cylinders. I'm going to use him over and under, meaning I'm placed
yes.
in the exactas and trifectas. I'm going to play him over and under. War of Will, Improbable, Signal Man, another twist of fate, and win, with probably a one ticket that also includes Always Mining. But those are going to be my keys is Bourbon War over, and I really think War will run good. I really think that another twist of fate will run good, and Improbable will be close enough. Signal Man and win, I think I'm going to try to shop for some odds there. But Bourbon War wins. We're going to have a fun day on Saturday, Buzzy.
Let's go. The Press Box and our weekly racing preview is brought to you by Keeneland, by Churchill Downs, by TwinSpires.com, by Equiride, by the Fairgrounds, by Arlington Park, by Clark Distributing, and by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Mr. McLean, as always, may the horse be with you, my friend.
With you as well, my friend. I look forward to seeing you. And very quickly, who is your pick?
Oh, my pick?
Yeah.
My pick. All right. I'm going to go. I'm going to play an exacta box, Signal Man, and Everfest.
There you go. I like it.
Going
I like
for the odds. I don't know if you like it. You won't play it, but that's okay. Let's have a big day.
I'm going to play a $2 box Signal Man and Everfast.
And that way when we see Dale Romans, I can say, well, Gene McLean didn't have faith in him. By golly, I did. Have a good one, my friend.
See you, brother.